You get Christian marriage if you get the logic of the gift. We can begin to understand and comprehend what we're doing today. In the degree that we wrap our minds around a single idea, the mystery of life, which John Paul II would call the law of the or the logic of the gift. The other day, I was reading an idea from somebody, and he says the following: revelation does not come from outside, it is contained within man himself. Finding oneself by finding God, and finding God by finding oneself. That is the unfolding idea of religion. The wellsprings of the depths reveal themselves in one's own heart. It is all a growth from within, striving towards perfection. Alfred Delp, a Jesuit who was beheaded by the Nazis on the 2nd of February 1945, commented on this passage of an ideological Nazi magazine, Deutscher Glaube, German faith, of his times. And he was trying to point out the massive rift between what that quote was saying and what Christianity is all about. And perhaps, I don't know how it is for you, but Christians, you hear a quote like that today, they would rather nod their heads in agreement rather than noting the abyssal depth of neo-pagan religion. Find yourself. All the potential is already within you. You just have to discover it. Believe in yourself, and everything will be possible for you. Become the best version of yourself. Realize yourself and your potential. It sounds nice, but I always cringe a little when I hear words like this, especially when they come from the mouths of a Christian. I'm a priest just next door here, and we often talk about we want to help people become the best version of themselves. But even that must be understood very well in reference to God in order not to fall into a self-redemptive spirituality and self-centered, atheistic, self-referential spirituality. Alfred Delp wanted to point out with his quote how deep the conversion from a neo-pagan self-centeredness must be for the Christian if he wants to truly live paschally, truly as a person resurrected with Christ. And that means breaking out of the self, out of self-centeredness. That means getting that life is not about me. Now, I don't know how it is for you, but I hope, you know, for Galinda and Jonathan, when they say yes to each other today, they're not saying, my life project now is that you make me happy, that you fulfill my dreams, that I find satisfaction, pleasure, meaning, and fulfillment in this relationship. I hope they're saying exactly the opposite. Adam became a gift for Eve and Eve for Adam, not a gift to themselves. And the logic and the law of the gift, Christian charity, is a countercultural, radically different alternative to this Promethean glorification of the self. And Dell points out that this inner willingness is not that easy, right? And he says that it is doubly difficult today, that is, in the 1930s Nazi milieu that he was living inside of. And this is because even when people come together in groups, even when they form, as in German, the Verein and over different kinds of organizations, maybe even religious communities, they are not looking for something greater than themselves, but they see the group as a means of realizing their own interests. And the exact same thing can happen in marriage. That we could come together not to serve together and surrender our lives, for the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Not to put ourselves at the service of a greater good, but rather because marriage helps us to pursue our own interests, our own self-centered interests, our own egotism. Delp would say, this willingness to serve, to devote ourselves to the individual is actually a characteristic, even more a law, of all being. And it's not surprising that it's so, right? Because, like, a dog produces puppies, not apples, because he's a dog. And a bear roars, doesn't sing like a bird, because he's a bear. And if God, who is all self-giving love, if that's what his essence is, that's what he's all about, we should be able to see something of that love in the whole of creation. I don't know if you've ever read C.S. Lewis' Palaeandra, and he envisions this planet where original sin never took place. And it's all about the temptation again. No, two people come from this world, from the earth, and they fly to Palaeandra, and they go to tempt this couple, this first couple on this new planet. And it's so beautiful, and it's because it's so telling, and you see how the guy is trying to tempt this Eve of this new planet, and to be egotistic, just to think about herself, and she doesn't even understand what he's talking about, because she's living in another universe of a logic of the gift, where all of creation is to be for another, to be for another. And that's ultimately what a sacrament is, right? Because we'd mentioned at the beginning, a sacrament is a visible sign that makes something invisible real. And in that sense, all of us are sacraments, because we're called to visibly, not just symbolize God who is love, but to make him present in this world. That's the deepest vocation of Christian marriage, right? Is to be a visible, not just a sign, but the instrument through which God makes his love present in the world. This self-giving love present in the world. Now, I can also be a sacrilege, not just a sacrament, because this self-giving love presupposes freedom, which means that I can be a visible sign of the opposite, not of love, but of egotism. But the deepest calling is precisely to be a gift of love. Last fall, once a year, I tried to do spiritual exercises for like 7-8 days just in silence. And I was south of Salzburg in a place that some of you might know, the Kinderalm. And I was walking around, and there was billions of blueberries, like billions of blueberries. I was walking during the day in silence, and just, oh, they were so delicious and wonderful and great. And as I was walking along, I looked down and I saw one wild strawberry, like one wild strawberry in the midst of billions of blueberries. And I said, I had to think of Palaeandra, because in that moment I said, what is that strawberry doing here? It shouldn't be here. It's the wrong time of year for strawberries. It's as if that strawberry waited 4 months for me to show up so I could eat it. You know, it was just like, it was such a moment. You think, this is, Father George, it's totally silly what you're saying. Yeah, maybe for me, it was kind of naive maybe, but it's, for me, it was such a beautiful symbol of what we're trying to say here at this day of marriage, you know, to understand that creation, God put something into this creation, a deeper logic, a deeper meaning, which if we go against, we're going to be frustrated. If God is love and we're his image, the only way that the human person is going to realize himself, come to fulfillment, is if he loves. And if he's an egotist, he's going to be a frustrated loner, a grump, totally self-centered, just looking out on himself, kind of like a Tolkien type of Gollum who's just thinking, oh, my precious. And his precious is him very self, and he's just frustrated and sad and angry. And the calling is something deeper. And some characteristics of this logic of the gift, I would think of three characteristics that this kind of has a consequence, I think, for you concretely in your marriage. And that is the attitudes that you have towards marriage, the responsibility that you take on, and the freedom with which you do it. So the attitude, the responsibility, and the freedom. First of all, the attitude, your attitude going into marriage, what you are expecting. And that has a lot to do with letting go of control, of not wanting to control the marriage, not wanting to control the other. It's the original temptation of Adam and Eve. They preferred control over love. They wanted to lord it over their relationships, even if the partner was God. They did not want to say yes to the gift. They wanted to lunge for it, grab it, make it their my precious. No, they, instead of being gifted by the apple, they grabbed for the apple. We do these marriage seminars called Liebe Leben, love, Living Love, and I think people that go through this marriage prep seminar, they've done a good seminar, if they just get this idea, if nothing else happens, that they realize, you, my partner, are more important for me than myself. You are more important to me than me. And that doesn't mean that there's a self-loathing or an unfree, unhealthy dependence or the incapacity of seeing my own value and worth. Totally on the contrary, because I can only give myself freely to somebody if I have control of myself, if I have myself in my own hands, if I know what I'm giving, if I know of this beautiful gift that I'm giving of myself to the other. But it does mean that there's a hierarchy of values. It does mean that I have learned something from God, who apparently thinks it worthwhile to die so that I might live, who loves me so much that he's willing to risk it all for me. I live in the faith and the love, in the Son and the love of God, who died for me, and he gave himself up for me, would St. Paul say. So it's an attitude. Now, what are you expecting when you go into a marriage? What is the horizon of your expectations? And the second, I think this logic of the gift brings with it responsibility. And this is all about the gospel passage that you chose today. This wasn't my choice, the gnashing of teeth. Well, we talked about that, the gnashing of teeth at the end of the gospel today. But this whole idea of the talents, no? Responsibility. I love the third question we're going to hear today to this couple. First is normal, you know, willing to like take this husband, take this wife, etc. Are you willing to accept the kids? Second question. And third question is, are you willing to take on responsibility in the church and in the world? And that's so beautiful because it's reminding this couple, hey, your marriage is not just for you. You have a responsibility to be light of the world and salt of the earth. You're not just going to live this for yourselves. You have a greater calling, which is something bigger than just you. And the talent that God, that Jesus tells us, talks about us today, it first of all, it's just the talent of the other, the talent that's given me through the other person that has been entrusted to me, that has entrusted herself, himself to me. And I take that responsibility very seriously. And as we know, the taking on of responsibility is one of the most powerful wellsprings of meaning and purpose. And where it doesn't happen, there is gnashing of teeth. Where people don't want to take on responsibility for my own actions or for the other person, there people start building their own hells. Love has everything to do with responsibility, because love has to do with freedom. We have courts of law because we are free beings. We don't throw our pets into prison. And the greater my interior freedom, the more will I feel this gentle burden of responsibility. It's the opposite of Cain and Abel. When God asked Cain, where is your brother? Am I my brother's keeper? Like, who is problem? No, I don't care about him. Which doesn't mean that you're taking on a responsibility for the other person's responsibility. You're not helping the other person to be eternal baby. But you're taking on responsibility, yes, certainly you are, for the other person. And then the talent is me, myself, the responsibility for myself to become and mature into a gift. Because we all know we're not perfect, right? We all know that we have ways to go. We all know that we're sinners. And so I take responsibility for myself and I say, yes, I want to grow in holiness. I want to grow in my capacity of self-giving. I want to grow in my capacity of saying, I'm really sorry, I messed it up. Take responsibility for my action. I remember once, I don't know if Father Timo remembers this, but we used to have a brother who is today is a very holy priest, but I remember when he first was starting, you know, the problem was always the other, the weather, the place that I've been sent, my education, the food, like you name it. He could just was incapable of taking on responsibility for his own actions. And that's a beautiful way to build your own little hell and have lots of gnashing of teeth. And then the third talent, the third way the talent shows and manifests itself, is the talent of your marriage as such. This is why you wanted this gospel passage, because God has given you talents. God has given both of you incredible and beautiful gifts. Gerlindes, I've known for a long time, and Jonathan, I'm starting to get to know yours. And it's just so beautiful what God has placed in you, right? And to make that fruitful for the world is such a beautiful vocation. And to take responsibility of that and to realize how beautiful that is. You don't want to consume, rather do you want to contribute. You want to be this visible sign that makes present the gift of God for the world. And then lastly, I think this logic of the gift is not something which can just help you with your attitude going to this marriage, not something that just helps you with this idea of responsibility, but also, and lastly, with freedom. You know, when you give somebody a bottle of wine when you come to visit, the person doesn't say, oh, this is European norm bottles. I prefer the old ones like they have in Franken and in certain places of this, you know, maybe in France and other places where you still have like different size of bottles. Maybe you could fill it into like a different type of bottle first and then I'll drink it. No, you don't say that, because then you've just destroyed the gift the other person is trying to give you. You know, you don't put conditions and say, well, this part of the gift I would like to have, I don't like the etiquette on your bottle. No, you take the whole thing. Of course, we're free beings, we can do what we want, but then I've just destroyed the gift. So I've got to take the whole thing, and I've got to give it all. I can't say, here, let me drink half of it first, and I'll give you the other half of the bottle. Well, then I haven't given the bottle. And the other person is so much more than a bottle of wine, right? And so when I give myself today, it's not with conditions. It's total. It's radical. And I don't say, I'm going to marry now, let's try it out for 3 years, and then we'll see. No, it's total. You can do that, right? But that's not love. That's not love. So this freedom, which has to do with responsibility, which then makes me capable of loving, is very important. And for that, I need to be interiorly free. I'm doing this not because somebody told me I have to marry, not because somebody's forcing me, but because I am taking responsibility for myself, and I'm saying, I'm giving myself to you. And I think it's so important, though, because I don't know how it is for you, but today we talk a lot about freedom. And, you know, you have to be free and keep yourself free, but, and sorry for this old example for some of you that know me, but for me, what makes me think of this is like when you're going to dinner at night and you're just trying to decide if you're going to eat Burger King or McDonald's. And then you're deciding between the Whopper and the Big Mac. But if I take the Big Mac, I can't have the Whopper. And if I have the Whopper, I can't have the Big Mac. So what am I going to do? And you're trying to decide back and forth, Whopper, Big Mac, Whopper. Well, if I don't decide, I'm going to go back home hungry. Freedom realizes itself in the decision. Freedom is for a decision. Freedom is not keeping my possibilities open. It's saying, I'm going to make a decision. And that's what you're doing today. And we want to accompany with this great moment of ceremony and celebration and prayer, and asking the Lord that he might help you to grow ever deeply, more deeply into this logic of the gift, that you're able to give yourself to each other, that you're able to say from the bottom of your heart, I want to do this. I give myself totally, faithfully, without conditions, not just for a couple of years and then we'll see. And I do this with this huge trust in God, that this is a sacrament, that you're not alone, that God is going to come into this relationship through this sacrament, and he's going to help you to be a witness of this love in the world. Amen.